God is a God of His Word.
My message this morning is, God is a God of His Word. Nothing new, nothing that you don't already know, but sometimes we need to be reminded of things that we do know. So what is the Word? The Word is God speaking to you and us, to you and I. The Word is His control, His contact with us, His control over our situations if we looked at Him in it. It is His will for our lives. In a nutshell, what is His Word? He and His Word are one. Now we know that when we go to John 1:1, that it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and He and the Word were one. Everything that was made, of course, was made by the Word, and without the Word there was nothing made. So which comes right back to everything that we see in the natural realm has been manifested in the spiritual realm first by the power of God. It is His voice speaking His faith. His Word is something that cannot be duplicated by anyone. We can repeat it. We can repeat it with the power that He has given us to do. We can repeat it with the authority that He has given us to use. But we cannot, in any case, be as the way He is, because He and His Word are forever settled in heaven. Genesis 1, the way His faith is released is through His Word. We all know that because God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, and it was as God said. His Word is only the only thing that the Holy Spirit will move upon. The Holy Spirit will not move on our words. The Holy Spirit will only move on the mighty Word of God. Proof of that, Genesis 1:1. The Spirit was hovering over the dark earth, but as the Spirit hovered, nothing happened until God said. Each thing that God called forth, He called forth with His Word. John 17:17 tells us His Word is the truth. His Word is powerful. His Word is anointed. His Word is the truth. In any situation that you are in, the Word of God will supersede that situation if you dare to look past the natural on into the spiritual realm and look as God sees it. A wonderful example of His Word and how people see His Word is in the book of Daniel. We see Daniel seeing the entire revelation period from the earth looking up. But then we see John looking from and giving us revelation from God's point of view down. Well, we need to be like Daniel, and that we need to be aware of what is going on around us so that we know how to look at it from God's eyes as John did. When you read the two, they have a correspondence to each other, and yet they are totally opposite because God does not look at things the way we look at things. Praise God for that, because if He did, we would all be defeated, including God. But He is never defeated. He is always victorious. So His Word is the truth. And Psalm 119:89, His Word is not going to change. He says what He means. He means what He says. Psalm 119:89 says, His Word is forever settled in heaven. Once He has spoken it, it's a done deal. And so we need to realize that. What He has promised us in the Word is ours if we will believe it, if we will take it, and if we will use it. However, what we do is we get moved by our situation or our circumstances. We get overwhelmed, if you will, and pretty soon, instead of being on top looking down the way God is, we're on the bottom looking up and saying, help! What happened here? Something's wrong. When we begin to do that, we need to rise up from that bottom of the barrel, and we need to get on the top, and we need to look down from heaven's point of view and see how God already sees it, which is already done, already victorious, already in the way God would see it. Hebrews 11:2. It's the Word that framed the world. Not only our world, but all the world to come. Sometimes you wonder, you know, when you read in the paper recently, they had an article about a new planet discovered. Well, you know what? That plan has been there forever. God already set that plan in motion. The fact that man discovered it doesn't mean that it just came into being. But that's the way the media sees stuff. We've got to stop seeing things the way the media wants us to see them. We've got to stop seeing things the way the world wants us to see them. As we have gone into this war in Iraq, I have been more and more aware of how the world wants us to see. For example, you cannot read the Plain Dealer without a daily synopsis of how many deaths there have been in Iraq. We have never, ever had that in any war that we have ever known about. What is that to get us to focus on? How defeated we are. We read about the abuse. What about the abuse to our people? What about the abuse to the civilians? We don't hear anything about that. We tend to be the bad guy because we are the Christian nation. But we've got to look at that from God's point of view and say, all right, this is the persecution that is coming because of your servant Christ. The United States has sent more missionaries throughout the earth than any other nation in the world. However, with all the people we have allowed coming in here, we have missionaries coming here. What a sad state of affairs. We've got to start seeing things the way God sees them. We've got to realize that we aren't going to be carrying little signs that say, down with abortion and all that. That's not going to do any good. That's just going to incite the world. The way to attack that stuff is the way God does in the spirit realm, in the heavenlies. That's what we need to do. When the war of Iraq first started, it ended very rapidly, the first war that we had. Why? Because every church in the United States, regardless of what their faith was zeroing in on the end of the war. Doesn't that tell us something? If we could all get together and if we could all pray, it would help. But no, we're so busy nitpicking with each other. We don't believe that. We don't believe this. And the devil has a field day with that because we have no opportunity for the word. It's just a sad thing. I was reading the book that we got Tuesday night that Lillian gave us on the Passion. And we'll be studying that a little bit, I think, in one of our future Bible studies because there are so many things about it that are strictly the Catholic point of view that are wrong. That, you know, the man has good intentions and everything, but they're not accurate according to Scripture. And one of the things is he never mentions that sin needs to be washed away with the blood. You know, just different things like that. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is nothing can replace the Word. Absolutely nothing. If we didn't have the Word, we wouldn't have Christ. If we didn't have the Word, we wouldn't know about the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have the Word, we wouldn't know about healing. If we didn't have the Word, we wouldn't know how to prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. We would know nothing other than what man, in his traditional thinking, would have us to think. And in fact, you would have people saying, as we do today, we're our own gods. We don't need God. We are our own gods. Wrong. A half-truth, twisted. That's why it's important for us to know what the Word says. When we are unsure, go to it and find it. Keep reading until you seek what you are looking for. So Hebrews 11:2 tells us, 3 I mean, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were made of things which we do not see. Now what the King James says is, things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, everything that we see has been made from something that we do not see. You cannot see your words. And yet words are powerful, words are containers, and they go out. And too many times, we yield to what the enemy says or people say about us. Words hurt, words harm, but words help. And the Word of God is the Word that is going to turn every situation around, every situation, bar none. While we're there, look at Hebrews 4:12. the Word of God, quick, powerful. That word quick doesn't mean fast. It means alive. The Word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is the most powerful force there is. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will pierce, meaning poke a hole, or it will divide apart things that are so intertwined with each other that there is no other way they could be separated other than the Word of God. Your joints and your marrow, the marrow runs into your bones and through and around your joints, so that, okay, to separate your joint from the marrow would be a mighty tricky thing, but the Word of God can do that without any problem whatsoever. Soul and spirit. Our soul and our spirit are very closely connected. They are, as some people say, the longest foot in the world between your soul and your spirit. However, God can very, very, as a surgeon's knife, just separate those two. And the most important thing, He can even separate the thoughts of our heart and the intentions of our heart. Now, many times our intentions are good, but many times our intentions are because our thoughts are wrong. He can separate those if we have good intentions and bad thoughts, or if we have wrong thoughts and yet good intentions, God can separate those. What is He telling us there? He's covering every area of our lives. His Word is what does it. You will notice that. The Word is quick, is alive, is powerful, and sharper. It's the Word that's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the Word that divides. It's the Word that separates. It's the Word that separates us from other people. Other people who don't know the Word don't have the Word to stand on and are not where we are. Not that we are more superior than they are, but we have more knowledge of the Word because that's what we teach. I taught yesterday, I spoke at a ladies group in here in Solon that met, it was really funny because when I got there, most of them had already had the book. That's how they heard of me. Satan is defeated and the Word works. And so the lady that introduced me said, well, now here's this woman who gives us the Word works and gives us Satan is defeated. Let's see if she's going to preach the same thing. I thought, you're darn right I am, sister. And so when I was finished, they were all, you know, that's just what they wanted, was the Word. But the amazing thing is, although maybe there were 30 to 35 women there, a lot of them hadn't heard the basic Word, which is what I taught. And it's a new thing. You see, the Word is not a new thing. The Word is forever settled in heaven. The Word has been since the beginning of time. The Word always has been. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. So the Word and God are one. As long as God has been, the Word has been. And God always uses His Word when He speaks for things as He did from Genesis on. So why would it amaze us that God is not going to move in line with His Word? It shouldn't amaze us. It should be the norm for you and I. The first thing we should do in every situation is find out what the Word says and stand on it. Okay, Lord, Your Word says this. That's it. That's a settled deal. If God said it, it's settled. Whether I believe it or not, is it going to make any difference? His Word is settled. Because that's what His Word says. All right. So, Proverbs 4:20. The Word is life and health. It is life and health. Health to your flesh. Health to your finances. Health to every area of your life. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. His word is made up of His words, of course. Incline your ear unto what I say or my sayings. Let them, meaning my words, not depart from your eyes. In other words, that's what you need to keep looking at is the Word. Keep the Word in the midst of your heart. Why do you need to keep it in the midst of your heart? Because what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. That's what you're going to speak. For they are life. God's words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Life here covers every area of our lives. It covers our spiritual life, our mental life, our physical life, our marital life, our social life, our emotional life, our financial life, our prosperous life. Every area of our life is covered. Even life over death is covered in God's Word. The answer to every area of situations in our life is His Word. Now, if you think about it, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what the Word tells us. That's our physical life. But your spiritual life is also in the blood. Because Christ hadn't shed His blood, according to the Word of God, then we would not be saved. So therefore, not only is the life of the flesh in the natural, in our body, but the life of the flesh spiritually within us is from the blood of Jesus. Then he goes on in verse 23 and he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What issues of life are going to flow out of your heart? Exactly the issues you put into them, because you will see what he says in verse 21, keep the words in the midst of your heart. Keep the words in the midst of your heart, for out of your heart flow the issues of life, or the problems of life, the situations of life that you are going to have to handle with the Word of God. Put away from you a froward mouth and a perverse lip put far from you. Let your eyes look right on and your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. All this is talking about in the Word. Keep your eyes straight on the Word. Keep your ways walking in the Word. Think about where you're going. Are you straying away from the Word? Don't turn away from the right. Don't turn away to the right or to the left, but keep your eyes right on the Word, because it's the Word that's going to make the difference in your life. Mark chapter 4 tells us that the Word is seed, that we are to sow the seed. The sower sows the Word. You cannot sow the seed if the seed is not sown in you first. We have to have the seed in our heart to be able, and it's the preparation of the heart that prepares the growth of the seed. So the Word is seed that we have to plant. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. You are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The Word of God is incorruptible seed. That means it can never mold, it can never decay, it can never rot, it can never become worthless, it can never become void of accomplishing its purpose. You are born again of incorruptible seed, which is the mighty, powerful Word of God. If that seed of the Word of God was enough to bring us up out of the depths of hell and have us born again as a seed in heaven, that incorruptible Word will never be able to be destroyed in any area of your life or mine. That Word of God lives and abides forever. There is no ending. The world is going to end, but the Word of God will go on and on and on, just as He does. His Word, remember, is the thing that we do not see, but it's the thing that changes that which we do see into what we are believing for, what we are hoping for. What is hope? Hope is our expectation that what we are believing for is going to come to pass. So the Word of God and our standing on that Word is what's going to bring that to pass. It may take a while. It may take a wait. It may take a fight. The fight is over. Jesus has already won it. But until we realize that, we are going to have to battle the enemy for the victory. Not that we are going to fight for what we have. We are going to fight to establish that it is already ours. And how do we do that? By taking authority. By standing our ground. When a battle is fought, the battle is fought by two forces. The battle was fought by Jesus on the cross. The battle was fought by Jesus in hell. The victory's been won when Jesus came up out and in our stead. But now, once a battle is won, that does not mean that there are little enemies going to try to attack. And so that's what it's going to be. And the attack is to try to get you and I off the Word of God. Look at this situation. It's greater than anything you could imagine. How could you let yourself get into this? How could you do... Very easy. You get your eyes off the Word. We stray away from the Word. We know that the Word is so powerful that Satan tries to kill and steal and destroy us. Why? Because we represent the Word of God in us. We are His Word spoken when He formed man. So, affliction and persecution, they come for what reason? The Word's sake. Therefore, just as we get to the point where we know that if there isn't anything good and anything perfect in our life, if there is anything good and perfect in our lives, it's not from God. God only gives us good and perfect things. Therefore, anything not good and not perfect is not from God. The same thing, is it affliction? Is it persecution? Is it trying to steal me, get me into the lust of other things? Is it trying to get me into thinking about riches more than God? Is it getting me to care more for the things of this world? My job, my this, my that, my family? Is it getting me focused more on things that I see in the natural? Then it's not God. Then it's not God. It's the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And how is he going to do that? We have those five ways in Mark chapter 4. Affliction, persecution, cares of this world, lots of other things, and deceitfulness of riches. When we care more about the things of this world or anyone in this world, we're really coming off the Word of God. We can't do that. We've got to stand firm in who we are. So, God has set before us, and I keep coming back to this scripture in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, that every day He sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Think about this. He sets before us life. What is His word? Life. What is death? Looking at things the world's way. He sets before us blessing. What brings a blessing? Who brought the first blessing? God. Who did He bring it to? Actually, Adam and Eve in the garden when he blessed them in the garden. But He still brought it to man. Okay, so therefore, as we look to God, if He and His word are one, every blessing and all life comes from God. The other things are going to come from the enemy or the world. So, we know that He has set before us life, which is His word, or death. We're going to choose. And if we choose to look at the situation, it's death. So we can't afford to play this. Okay, the word is what has made us free. It's what keeps us free. It's what is our healer. It's everything in our life depends on our faith in the word. And first of all, our knowledge on the Word, because if we don't have the knowledge of the Word, we are not going to have the faith in it. You've got to know about something before you build your faith in it. So, we need to realize also that God means what He says, and He says what He means. No two ways about that whatsoever. Now, I want you to turn with me to John 17:17. God and His Word are one. They are inseparable. They are indivisible. John 17:17, we are sanctified. We are set aside. We are made holy through His word. We are redeemed by His word that became flesh. Ephesians 5. 26 and 27. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He would sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the Word, that He would present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You and I are the church. Christ is the Word. We have been washed by the Word. We have been washed and we continue to be washed by the Word. Why? So that Christ can present us to the Father as the glorious church, and that is only going to come by being washed by the water of the Word, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and holy before God. The Word is the Word is the Word, and it touches every area of our lives. He has set before us life and death. Which are we choosing? Are we choosing life and God's way? Are we choosing God's Word? Or are we choosing to go the way the enemy would have us to go, as Eve in the garden? The Word is the most powerful force in the world. More powerful than words, more powerful than love. But God is love, and so His Word is spoken with love. And how do we know that? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Talking about Jesus, being the brightness of God's glory, and the exact image of God's person, upholding all things by the word of His power. Everything we see, all the heavens, all the planets, all the rain, all the snow, everything is held together by His mighty, magnificent, powerful word. That's power. That's power greater than anything we can ever imagine. Everything is held in its position. The sun will not refuse to shine. The tide will come in and go out. It has all been ordained by God, by His mighty word. And it's all held there by the power of that word. Once that word is spoken, imagine if you and I, and we are made in the image of God, if we could grow into the place where we can have our words have so much power that whatever we speak is going to be held there forever. Then we will have come into the fullness of God. Then we will have arrived where God wants us to. And we have a long, long way to go. Because our words are not full of power. Our words are wishy-washy. Our words are whining. Our words are crying. Our words are pouting. Our words are self-pity. Our words are looking at what we see in the natural instead of putting forth the power of God that's going to change that and hold it in the position for us forever. Amen? And the last thing that the Word is the Word is our judge. John 12 and verse 48. The Word is our judge that's going to judge us in the final day. The Word, not yours and not mine, the Word is our judge. Amen? Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank You, Lord, and we praise You for Your Word, for You and Your Word are one. There is no distinguishing between You both. Just as You are love, You are the Word. And Father, it's Your Word that is accomplished and prospers. It's Your Word that accomplishes and prospers today. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for the cleansing and the washing and the purifying of Your mighty, magnificent Word. That, Lord, we are what You say we are. We have what Your Word says we have. Your Word is the truth and supersedes, overtakes, overruns, overrules every situation, every circumstance we are ever in, everything that we see in the natural. Your Word is Your Word forever settled in heaven. And we give You praise for it. And we give You glory. And we especially give You for Your praise, Lord, for Your Word that became flesh to enable us to have all of this to be possible. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Anybody need prayer today? All right, then we'll just stand for the blessings of the Lord. Father God, as the pastor of this great and mighty congregation, I bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus.